Good evening. The special meeting of the Joint Land Use Board for Thursday, February 17th, 2022 is called to order. I wish to announce that the open public meeting law known as the Sunshine Law of 1975 has been complied with. The notice of this meeting was advertised by our board secretary. Our official news papers were notified. Copies are placed on the bulletin boards. Would everybody please stand for this pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Roll call first.
Mayor Roach?
Here.
Councilwoman Hess?
Here.
Mr. Wells? Ms. Joy Jackson?
Here.
Ms. Micheli?
Here.
Mr. Dawson? Mr. Pauli?
Here.
Mr. Jermaine Jackson?
Here.
Ms. DiDomenico? Here. Ms. Protish?
Here.
Mr. Vandegrift?
Here.
Okay, before we begin, I would like the board secretary to speak about the notices that were provided.
On February 1st, 2022, in the Central Record, legal notice was placed. Please take notice that on February 17th, 2022, at 6 o'clock p.m., the Borough of Linnemall's Joint Land Use Board shall conduct a special meeting to rehear application JLUB-21-3, submitted by Edward Taylor, doing business as IAO Entertainment, LLC, and to reconsider their approvals granted therein concerning the property known as 2512 Egg Harbor Road, Block 268, Lot 1, on the official tax map. Said application is on file and available for public inspection during normal business hours. This meeting will take place at the Borough of Linnemall, 15 North Whitehorse Pike, Linnemall, New Jersey, 08021. That was submitted by me, the board secretary, Nancy DiDomenico. In addition to public notice on January 28, 2022, notice of a special meeting was sent to Mr. Edward Taylor of IAO Entertainment, LLC, by certified mail and first-class mail at his business location of 2512 Egg Harbor Road and at his home of 511 Spruce Avenue, Linnemall, New Jersey, 08021. Certified receipts are on file with the board secretary. In addition to the certified and regular first-class mail service of the notice of special mailing directed to the applicant at his place of business and at his residence as reflected in his application, a notice of special meeting was hand-delivered by a courier service to his place of business and his residence, and the confirmation of delivery was received reflecting that service was made of February 2nd, 2022 at 12:27 p.m. and 12:36 p.m.
Okay. Is Edward Taylor here? Would you please come forward?
I sit down, and I just want to explain to you a little bit about the procedures, and then I'll have you sworn in. Okay. So, as you will recall, when we did do a resolution, we reserved in two paragraphs the right for the board to come back and to rehear this matter. Paragraph number one, we have provided, in the event that it appears to the board on reasonable grounds that the application, exhibits, testimony, maps, or any documents are not accurate, are materially misleading, or are the result of mistake, and the same has been relied upon by the board may rescind its approval and rehear the matter, or any part of the application, either upon the application of an interested party or on its own motion, when unusual circumstances so require, or when a rehearing is necessary and appropriate for the interest of justice. We further provided at the end of the resolution that upon a proper showing of material misleading, submissions, material misstatements, material inaccurate information, or material mistake made by the applicant, the board reserves the right to conduct a hearing with the applicant present for the purpose of fact-finding regarding the same. Should the facts at said hearing confirm that there was a material fault or deficiency in the application, the board shall take whatever action it deems appropriate at the time, including but not limited to rescission of its prior approval, a rehearing, a modification of its prior approval, or such other action as appropriate. So that is basically the authority, Mr. Taylor, by which we have called the special hearing, because evidence has come to the board's attention where there may have been misstatements of fact and misrepresentations made to the board, which the board relied upon in granting your approval. So the facts that have been presented to us have raised a lot of concerns. Number one, first, in terms of the safety of the occupants of the building, that the patrons that come in and participate with your business. We have serious fire and health safety concerns about that. Additionally, the board is interested in the integrity of our proceedings, where we rely in good faith on the applicants providing us with accurate information, and we act on that. And I've been on this board for several years, and this board does its very best to be fair to applicants, to work. They welcome businesses in the town, and they work with people, and they try to make it work within the confines of the land use ordinance that are in place in this town. And so it's with that we are very concerned about what was told the board at the meeting of June 24th, 2012. So what I would like to do here at this point is that I want to present to you what has come to the board's attention. And then we'll put in some evidence, and then you can then, when we complete our presentation, you can then address what we have presented, clarify things, or whatever, however you want to respond, we're welcome to that. But we want to put on the record first, what are the reasonable grounds that have prompted us to have this hearing, this rehearing tonight, okay? So why don't I swear you in, Mr. Taylor? You want to stand and raise your right hand? Okay, Mr. Taylor, could you state your name and your address?
Edward Taylor, 511 Spruce Ave, Norwalk.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you will give this evening will be the whole truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I think the first witness we will would be our code official, Wayne Haas.
Go ahead.
Dawn.
Okay, so Mr. Haas, could you state your name for the record and give us your address?
Wayne Haas. Do you want my personal address or here?
You can give here.
15 North White Horse Pike, Lindenwood, New Jersey.
Okay. If you could raise your right hand. Okay, so do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you will give this evening will be the whole truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So for the record, could you identify your position with the borough?
Code enforcement for the borough and then the wall supervisor of that department.
Okay. And in your capacity as that official, have you had the occasion to inspect the space that Mr. Taylor occupies with his business, IAO Entertainment?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And so, and could you kind of recount for the board a chronology of events, when you inspected, what you found?
Okay, when I first went in there, the back section, he did not have keys to get in the back section. I was in there with the fire department also. We could not get in the back section. Mr. Taylor said he didn't have keys to get back there, and that he wasn't occupying that spot. Can I pull this down?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. So he couldn't get us in there, so I got a hold of Mr. Janelle, which is the owner of the property. They get us back in there another day. We did get in there upon arrival in there. We did have a stage in there. We had curtains going around the building inside. There were several violations in that part. Then when I came back to check the records of what was on the resolution for what he got approved for, was this front section, which was approximately 1,760 square feet. So therefore, he didn't have approvals for the back section. That's when I started pulling it out, the records, and I got a hold of Mr. Taylor, went out there and just did the front section for inspections, so I didn't get back into the back section until I went back and just did a site inspection for him, but that had nothing to do with this application.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when was the last inspection that you did?
The last inspection would have been February 1st of 2022.
Okay.
And that would have been for the front section. He did let me in the back section where there were some violations back there, but I wasn't doing a full inspection back there because I wasn't there for that. But I told him as a courtesy I would go back there.
Okay. So it's come to my understanding that the borough, through various members on the board and staff, have examined the website and the Instagram site of IAO Entertainment at 2512 Egg Harbor Road. Okay, and they've gathered several announcements of events that are occurring at that facility. So I'd like to kind of go through that with you. And let me... Okay, so you know what, let me do this before we, because the board probably can't see this. I made copies of everything that we are presenting. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Oh, but you can't read it. You can't read it, so let me give you one, and I'm going to give that. So I have marked these announcements, Barry Exhibit 1 through 8. And these were taken from the IAO website or the IOA Instagram site. So if you could just point out some data on these. What is the address of this event?
Want to answer that or Mr. Taylor?
No.
Okay. The first one's Exhibit B1, which is 2512 Egg Harbor Road, Lindemol, New Jersey, August 7th, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Okay. Is Greg still here? Is it going? Could you help me out here for a sec? I want to get to the next one. I don't want to close it. And how do I get to the next slide? So B2, if we could put something on the record about that.
Okay, Exhibit B2 It's Juiced Up Concert, Saturday, 21st of August. And this one's from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Okay, and the location?
Location on this one is 2512 Egg Harbor Road.
And that is referred to in there as the IAO Industry Lounge, is that correct?
IOA Recording Studios, that's correct.
Okay. Okay, the next one? Okay.
Okay, it's going to be Exhibit B3, and that one's for 2512 Egg Harbor Road, October 15th, hours 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., advertised the third Friday every month.
Okay, let's go to the next one.
I'll wait until you get it up. Okay, this one here is the mixer. That's going to be Exhibit B4, 2512 Egg Harbor Road, IOA Industrial Lounge. And that one I do not, October 22nd. I don't see the hours with that one.
Okay. I apologize for this one. We couldn't enlarge it.
Okay,
but are you able to read this?
I'm okay with that one. Exhibit B5, this is the Philly Jersey on October 29th. Hours, it's real tough to read, but it says 7 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Okay, we'll move to the next one.
Next one's going to be Exhibit 6. Halloween, I can't read all that because it's locked down. Halloween party, it looks like. Sections available, come in costume. Hours be 7 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Okay, and then below there you can see the 2512 Egg Harbor Road as being the location for this party?
Yes, it does have 2512 Egg Harbor Road, that's correct, okay. Lindemann, New Jersey.
And tickets are available online?
Yes.
Okay, the next exhibit, this would be B7, if you could.
B7, Basic and Friends Concert, 11/19/21, 8 a.m., it looks like 8, it says 8 and then show at 9. So the doors open at 8 o'clock, 9 p.m. is the show. Advance tickets at the door, $10 in advance, $20 at the door.
And the location of this event?
2512 Egg Harbor Road, Lindemann, New Jersey.
And with this particular announcement, is it noted that there is VIP and bottle service also for this event?
This one here, Industrial Lounge, just as Friends Concert, November 19th.
Yeah, right below the $10 advance tickets, there is a line.
VIP and bottle service available.
Okay, and then the next section is performance slots available?
Performance slots available, that is correct.
Okay. Okay, and then the last one that we have here is B8.
B8, it was here before, January 29th, 8 p.m. to 11 a.m. Full bar service, sections available at 100 hours, hookah available, vendors. Saturday, January 29th, 8:30 start.
Okay, and did you mention the full bar?
Yes, I did.
Full bar. Okay, very good. So those are the announcements that we had gotten, but no, there's one more. There's the, we were able to, on the Instagram, there was videos of the various events at the IAO Lounge. There was one video that actually coincided with the Philly to Jersey announcement. And so I'd like to put that on so we can see what these events are involved, yeah.
I wasn't there, so.
That's, it's there, it's on the, okay, so the one video that we did get from the website obviously hasn't been saved correctly. So based on, did you have an opportunity, Mr. House, to read the transcript of the June hearing? Parts of it?
That was the original, June 24th?
Yes.
Yes, I did read parts of that.
Okay.
The resolution I got, yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. No. So do any of these events, any of these announcements that we've just shown, are they consistent with the resolution and the approval that was granted to the applicant?
I would say no, because there's not enough room in his front office, which is approximately 1,760 square feet. There's not enough room for that many people being in that section.
Okay, so as it stands now, what do we have? Do we have any approvals, mercantile license for the operation of either the recording studio or this back section?
We have a mercantile license for the front section, 1,760 square feet. It hasn't been issued yet. It failed. The last inspection was on February 1st, 2022.
Okay. Okay, and I have in my possession, and I think you probably have in your file, there are two reports that you made, code compliance reports that you made, one of which was on December. The first one was in January 25th, 2022.
Was that an actual
that's
inspection?
That's the second one. Okay. The first one, the first code compliance report was dated 12/22/2021. Do you have that?
What's the date?
12/22/2021. If you don't, I'm going to...
No, I have 12/14. I have it 12/9.
You have one for what? 12/14.
I have the inspection reports from 12/14, 12/9, okay, and 2/1.
These are the code compliance reports that I had gotten, and they were, the data there was from 2, and I thought that we can.
Okay, want to read this one out?
Yes. And if you have the fire one, I never got that.
No, this is the actual field inspections. So this is an actual violation, and he would have got copies of that. That's up to you. Okay. And this one's Exhibit B, Mark B10. This was a code compliance report for 2512 Egg Harbor Road, addressed to Taylor, Edward Taylor, on 12/22/21. And it reads, no approval for the back section, roughly 7,000 square feet, must go to the land use board for approval.
Violations abated?
No, because I'm still using that section at that time, after that time.
Okay, and then I just dropped off with you another code compliance report. This one is dated January 25th, 2022. Do you have that?
January 25th. That was made for 2512 Egg Harbor Road, Edward Taylor. And that reads Unit E, front section, roughly 1760 square feet, never passed mercantile inspection for 2021.
Okay, now based on your December 22nd notice, did you not put a not approved and a notice sticker on the building?
It was to be abated by 1227. I did go back and put a sticker on it. I don't really have that date in front of me, to be honest with you.
Okay, but the notice that you
I got in here, I'm sorry. So it was Unit E and 1222-21.
Okay. And so you did put a notice on the
door?
Correct.
Okay.
And it says not approved and do not remove.
And it says he has to come in for approvals.
Okay. And based on what we have shown with the exhibits about the announcements, did an event, even though you put a sticker on, did an event actually occur there?
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so you have a copy of the application, and you were given a floor plan, a schematic of what the approval was.
Correct.
Okay, and that was what, could you recite how much space we actually approved?
You approved the 1760 square feet, which looks like it consists of four rooms plus bathrooms. And that was the front section of Unit E.
Okay. And so, just for the record, the area where these events are being conducted, there was never any approval given.
That is correct.
Okay, so now based on your experience, how long have you been a code enforcement person?
I've been here for approximately 6 years.
Okay. And so based on your experience and knowing the building and knowing what is actually occurring there, you feel confident that it is a safe environment for the patrons there?
I would say no.
Okay. I don't have any. Anybody have any questions?
Is that what, mate?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, do we have anybody from the buyer? So we're then going to go on with the police officer, Mr. O'Donnell. Sergeant O'Donnell, could you come forward, please? Good evening, Sergeant. Could you state your name for the record, please?
Sergeant Edward O'Donnell.
Okay. Would you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give will be the whole truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, very good. Okay. If you could just state your position with the Borough of London, ma'am.
Sergeant in patrol.
Okay. And did you have occasion to undertake any inspection, site visit of 2512 Egg Harbor Road to inspect or to visit the IAO recording studio?
Not to inspect, just I observed several safety violations the night of the concert of 12/18/21.
Okay. Okay, so could you kind of recite for the board when you went there, what you saw?
On patrol, I came over the hill on Egg Harbor Road. I observed a couple cars double parked on Egg Harbor Road, which creates a safety hazard for passing motorists. I also observed a lit billboard sign advertising a concert there that night. It was backed up to the road. The whole parking lot was filled. There were several people walking around the parking lot, which later turned out to be security. I entered the parking lot, and the parking lot was extremely congested. I went to the rear of the complex, and there was cars attempting to turn around, which were clogging the entrance exit way to the parking lot, which caused a serious problem with fire, you know, ambulance, anything like that, that had to get to the back of the, and police to get to the back of the complex. I observed Observed numerous people going in and out of the rear warehouse part of the complex. I didn't believe that they had a zoning or any kind of license for that activity. I asked to speak to the owner of the property, which turned out to be Ed, right here to my right. I asked to speak to him. I observed numerous people inside, concert going on, alcohol, cash box on the inside of the doorway. Looked like I didn't see them accepting cash, but it appeared that way, that they, you know, for the entrance fee. I talked to the owner. He verified he was the owner. We stepped out into the parking lot. I addressed my concerns with them over the parking, the double parking on Egg Harbor Road, and then asked him several times what the occupancy level for the studio was, and was told 750. I believe I asked him a total of 4 times if he had a license to have that many people and what the occupancy level was, and that's what he told me.
Do you have any idea how many people were actually in there? Did you get a full view of the warehouse?
I would estimate between the cars and the people I observed, at least 100.
And you made a report, an operational report on that.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. I've marked that on B14. Okay, let me just give that to Mr. Taylor.
So based on your experience as a law enforcement officer, did you feel that this operation there, the 2512, was presented traffic and safety hazards?
Yes.
Okay, does the board have any questions? Okay, we don't have a fire official here, do we? But what I do have is a fire safety registration, which the applicant did submit and on June 10th of 2021. That was before the applicant testified at the June 24th hearing. And I have that marked as B13, and that's an application that was signed by Mr. Edward Taylor. And he did indicate on this application that the hours of operation were going to be 24/7. Okay. So I'm going to give you a copy of that, Mr. Taylor. The last thing that we have here is the we had Mr. Taylor, we had a transcript done of your testimony under oath before the board on June 24th, and it was done by a certified court reporter, and there is a certification at the end of that report that it was done accurately. So I'm just going to, Jeff, can I save some steps? Can I hand this over to you to give to Mr. Taylor? So one of the things here, it's if you do take a look at it, the page numbers are sometimes not at the bottom of the page, but they're over on the right-hand side. So I want to direct you to your testimony, okay? You said that you... on page 8, Mr. Hansen, our board engineer said, asked you, can you tell us what your hours of operation are going to be? And we've just seen a number of notices where the hours of operations go to 2 in the morning. You replied, "We're 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, weekends 9 to 6. 9 to 6, Saturday and Sunday," you replied, "Yes." Okay, Mr. Hansen asked you, okay, it's recording studio. What are they? Recording studios? You say yes, basically. And also, there is some night hours as well. We're going to utilize from 7 to 10, 2 days a week. Okay? And that's going to be on a rotating basis. So you indicated on what kind of community things are you going to do? And on page 9, you say, "We're teaching music production and engineering." And Mr. Hansen asked you, "Are those the community programs that you're going to handle there?" And you say, "Yes." And on page 15, so Mr. Hansen asked you again, so the recording activities, the actual clients can come in Monday to Friday and then Saturday to Sunday on those hours, and then after hours is when the children come. And you say yes. And you indicated that you have 15 engineers. Okay, so then on page 10, you say we are asked about the maximum number of people, okay? And you say the maximum number of people is about 15 people. Typically, you have 4 recording studios, so they'll range anywhere from 3 clients per room, so there will be roughly between 12 or 15 people. So Mr. Hansen asks you a little bit more. Well, there's usually 3 teachers, and it's a group setting. Based on depending on what to sign up for, it'll be a one-on-one session. It's just an engineer and a vocal course and something like that. So you're only going to have 3 teachers, 3 students, so the peak demand on the parking will be when the actual recording studio is operating. And you say, absolutely, absolutely, 2 times. How about the parking, Mr. Hansen asked? Is it adequate for what you have 15 people there? It is. So you think the parking is adequate for your use? For the most part, it is. That's what you responded. So Mr. Hansen says, you don't have to park down the road. Nobody has to park down the road. They all park on site and the circulation works. And you say, correct, yes. So a board member asked you, the community area itself is for students that you teach music to, and you say yes. It's not a community center, a board member asks, or you won't have things going on there, you know, kids and stuff coming in and out. No, not unless we do a summer program, which we are starting. We are waiting before we're able to get approval to look for a summer program after school gets out. It's for music. You respond, yes, it's for music. Another board member asked you, I have questions in regard to, are there no retail sales being done in this building at all? Right? You say, absolutely not. And there is no retail in this place? And you say, no. Do you have a layout of the recording studio? And you said, yes, and that was the, and you walked us through the 4 rooms that made up the recording studio. So I think it's fair to say that based on your testimony, the board absolutely was given no idea that you would be having concerts, with many, many people there. Cash bars, bar service, operating till 2 in the morning, not based on your testimony. So you can understand, I hope, why we have serious concerns about the truthfulness of your application. So at this point in time, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond.
This first booklet here that shows about, I guess, 8 events. Four of them did never occur. This was something that was being promoted on social media. The other 4 did occur. I take full responsibility for those. As far as me not having the proper, I guess, approval to be in the back unit was a miscommunication between me and my landlord. I started out with the 4 studios, and at the time there was cheerleaders in the back unit, and across the lot there was a baseball guy, and I've been telling him I wanted to expand my business, so on and so forth. So I started out over at the baseball guy once he left. Didn't really do anything there because we felt like it wasn't going to get approved. So the idea was for me to go next door, which I was told that whole unit was already approved because I'm in the front unit of it. That's the reason, the only reason why I started to have events there, because I was under the impression that the entire unit was already approved because the front part, it was connected. Once, I think Wayne came out and put a do not move or a rejection on the door, there's been no events from there. I think we had a bad storm, and it might have blown off. I let kids come, I mean, there's a bunch of kids that's there. I never removed it off the door. But since that was tagged, I haven't had anything there. So that was the only reason why I was under the impression that it would be an easy transition, because it was already in the part of the unit that I had already obtained. I take full responsibility for maybe not communicating or finding out the proper channel to go about it. This is my first time having my own business here in this town. I've moved down here from Lumberton, and never went through any of this. So where I had to have multiple units. I don't have any other excuses or anything like that. I take responsibility, but I was misled and misinformed. So, but there haven't been anything since then. As far as it being a hazard, the way my outlook on it is, we've never had any incidents since then. I do a lot for my culture, a lot for youth in general. I'm a mentor. So everything that has transpired, although it wasn't approved, there's been nothing, no issues. I've had state regulated security, making sure cars weren't vandalized, making sure the property around the whole unit was secure. As far as serving alcohol and things like that, that's not true at all. I don't have a liquor license. However, I did obtain a caterer's license. So I hired a caterer who has a license to come in, and she, you know, I have receipts. I didn't bring that because I didn't know I had to bring that, but she said based on her license, and she's able to serve drinks and food and things of that nature, because I wasn't licensed to do so. So I obtained somebody that did have that. So that's just to clarify the alcohol thing that was being advertised, which is totally not true. I employ over about 30 staff. So
my business was growing at a rapid pace, and I was under the impression that that back unit was not going to be, it was automatically approved because of my front unit, and because it was a door, two doorways that led to that unit, so it's already yours. That's pretty much all I have to say at this point.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to point out is that when you did appear here in June, you were occupying the space and conducting business, and we made it a point of the resolution that you were not to occupy the space until you had all of your approvals. That was a condition of your approval. And yet, a month later, we see there are no approvals done, and there's a concert at your place.
I'm misunderstanding you. You're saying what day was that?
Well, what you had is that you had a concert.
I've only been before the board for the studios. I've never been before the board for that back unit, ever.
No, of course you haven't. No, you haven't. But you've been conducting. The board stipulated with your approval that you were not to occupy, you were not to operate anything there until you had all your approvals. For the
back unit, are you saying?
For the recording studio, because that's all the board knew that you were doing. The board had no idea that you were conducting this. None whatsoever. We thought you were doing community work with kids.
Yeah, that's something that just happened.
Hearing and all that. Never
I was never utilizing that back then. This is something that just happened within the last few months. That what you're talking about, I only utilized the front. I just started utilizing that back unit a few months ago.
Okay, so nobody, so all these announcements.
The cheerleaders were there back then, ma'am. I just obtained this unit over the summer. I think August to be exact.
Yeah, all these events occur after you got your approval. All of these happen
right.
After your
approval. Right, what I'm saying is I never was even in that unit back there because the old cheerleaders were there. I was operating in the room I was allowed to operate, which is the front unit. Once the cheerleaders left, that's when I was given an opportunity to go next door or take the back unit, which I first took next door, and then I wound up coming over to the front where I'm at now. That's when I started to use that unit once I thought I was told that it was kind of all part of my approval of the front. So I think what you're thinking is that since I've been here, that I've been utilizing the entire unit, and I haven't. I just started using that back unit once it became available.
And when was that?
This over the summer, August.
August. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So in August, you started using that back area.
Yes, correct.
Okay. But
prior to that, I had no access to it.
Okay. But again, at the June hearing, June 24th, the board stipulated on their approval that you were not to occupy or operate anything at the site until you had all of your approvals. So you, notwithstanding that, you began in August using that back site for concerts. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can understand why the board is kind of questioning the
truthfulness
of what you said.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
So do you have any questions for the code enforcement officer or the police officer that testified? Any questions?
No, not at this point.
So how would you sum up your how would you sum up what transpired with your operation there based on the resolution that you were given by the board? Kindly explain that to us in a summary fashion.
What do you mean, like, as far as what's been taking place there?
So are you're basically indicating that you misunderstood. What
I misunderstood, because of the way the unit I'm in is set up, it's kind of one unit. Before I obtained the entire unit, there's two doors that lead to the back unit, which is why we're here today. So when I was told utilize the whole space, you're already approved, it's not a problem, you can start utilizing the space because you already got your CO, you already got your fire. My mercantile basically failed because of a doorknob of a closet.
So who told you that? Go ahead, that you're already approved. Did somebody from the borough tell you that?
No, my landlord. Because I was already operating over a year, the front unit, which used to be G, which just now, for some reason, turned to E.
Well, again, you just made another admission there that you were read before you even came to the board for approval. You were operating in that facility for a whole year before you even came here.
Correct.
Okay.
And I was given that leeway.
Okay, and we kind of let that slide, but we made that a condition of the approval that you were not to do anything until everything, all of your approvals were done. And you disregarded that. You disregarded that.
I didn't disregard.
And changed the nature of your approval.
I didn't disregard. I've been being harassed, if I be totally honest with you. The last inspection that took place before Wayne came this last time, he came with a fire mark, a fire guy, and he had already gave me a fire, so I had to show him the paper, and Wayne's saying, look, I'm going to write you for this, you're failing, you don't have your hazard, you don't have this, you don't have that. I said, Wayne, why is fire here? He's already approved it. Here's his signature. Why is he here? Why? When I first initially met Wayne, he brought the police to me. The police officers asked me, why am I here? He said he feels that you're a threat. I said, I just meet this man. Why am I a threat? I was a state correction officer. A good friend of mine was a guy here, Officer Corey, a friend of mine. So I'm law enforcement as well. So I'm asking him, once I'm meeting him, why is the police here? As if something occurred. I started to feel like it was a racial thing or something. I don't know. It's like I said, it's never been an issue here. Never had a call, a fight, nothing. As far as me using the front unit and not being fully approved, I was told, I was given a CO, you can obtain and use your business while still getting everything together. And I'm keep getting like picked on. He just failed me for not having a doorknob on a closet. Not water, not the main things. And it's like, are you kidding me? That's still not to give me mercantile? Just to look so I can come before the board and look like I'm not up to code? I mean, I don't know what else there is there for me to do. I mean, every time he's come out, it's been him looking for problems. He built the fire marshal here, and then he wound up leaving. They're taking pictures and stuff, looking for problems. I'm like, I'm openly allowing you guys to come in here, you're looking for problems. And then I had to pull out the signature of where I'm already certified for fire. And I'm like, look, dude, you signed this. Then he left. But he was like, I'm going to serve because your battery, I don't, like, we've already expected that already. We already went through that inspection. Why are you here today? It was like it's like looking for problems.
It could have been because you were originally inspected for a recording studio.
That's the unit that we were re-inspecting, which was already approved for.
Find out that there is concerts going on. That precipitates a whole other thing.
No, that's a different unit.
It's because I think you're kind of saying you're getting picked on. It's
absolutely.
This was
no question.
Your operation brought the police there because you had your clientele all parking on Egg Harbor Road.
Mm-hmm.
And you caused a notification to the police that they had to go and see what was happening because that was a traffic hazard.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's where people went in and they saw what was happening. And that was totally contrary to what you told us.
Okay.
We gave you the approval. Would you agree to that, that you did not, never told us that you were going to conduct concerts?
No, I'm not going to agree to that because I didn't obtain that. I didn't have access to that unit that's brought us here today. Then, when I first came before you guys, it was just a recording studio. I didn't have access to that other building at all. So I wasn't. It was the cheerleaders there. So I think where the misunderstanding is that you're saying and thinking that I just went on and started using that building and lied on record. I didn't have access to it then at the time. It was cheerleaders there. So once the cheerleaders moved, because that building is connected to my studios, my landlord said you can just utilize the whole thing. And it shouldn't be a problem because you're already approved in the front unit. So that's why I started to do those things.
So you have approval to just do a recording studio, nothing else?
Yes, sir.
You took it upon yourself to have something else, a different business?
No, it's the same business, it's an extension.
No, it's not, we weren't told anything about extension to a business. We weren't saying, didn't tell us you were going to try to expand. Okay, you understand what we're trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're changing your business and trying to operate there.
A change of use is what I should have done.
Yes, I don't think that having a concert hall is a permitted use.
Well, it's not a club, we were doing it for production. It's videos and stuff, we had a couple of events there, but it wasn't a no nightclub.
A concert event is not a permitted use in the I-1 zone.
Okay.
In the order for an ordinance, that's not permitted in that zone.
Right, okay.
Do you sell the food and sell the liquor?
No, we don't sell alcohol at all. I mean, when the officer came up here and gave his testimony,
does your caterer collect money if she serves a drink?
Well, she does raffle tickets and things like that. She has a way of how she conducts her business, but we don't sell alcohol at all. But the officer did come up here and say that he observed alcohol. He's never come in the building and observed that. That was not true at all. He never came in. He met me in the parking lot. He never came inside my building. So for him to come on a record and say he observed alcohol, I would think that would have drawn more heat. Him being an officer saying, whoa, do you have a license for this alcohol that I'm seeing? Why is alcohol here if you know you're not supposed to have that? That means that's not true. He didn't see that. We didn't serve any alcohol, but he came in on a record and said he observed alcohol. He's never came in my building.
So you're suggesting that the officer is misrepresented?
Absolutely, no question.
Okay, so you just said that you had a caterer who was able to supply alcohol.
My caterer has a license to serve wine, yes. I hired her from the Berlin Mart. They have a store in the Berlin Mart, yes.
Okay, but you knew she had to have a license to be able to serve alcohol?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so you knew enough to know that someone had to have a license to serve alcohol.
But we're not serving, there was no serving of alcohol is what I'm saying. Even though she is legally allowed to serve wine, she never did that. Sodas, waters, juices, things like that. Hookahs, we did have hookah. Hookah is very legal here in New Jersey. There was no alcohol selling anywhere in the place. But
was there alcohol being served?
No.
So when you post announcements that there's a full bar there?
That was a false advertisement from a client that we've given their deposit back because of that issue. Because we would never approve nothing like that. That event never took place. Once that was brought to my attention, I had my assistant completely giving his money back and didn't want to do any business with him because that's not what we do here.
Okay, that was the January 24th event, but going back to November 19th event, we had VIP and bottle service.
We never had that event. That's why I'm saying there was like four events here that never took place.
And which ones were they?
This Juiced Up concert never took place. That's on page 2, B2.
So B1 did take place on August 7th?
That did not take place. The captain at the time pulled me to the side. He found out that it was a gentleman from Salem that was, he had a bad record. He said it wouldn't be to my best interest to have him come, and I canceled that as well. That was the captain in the wall. That didn't happen. B1 didn't happen. B2 didn't happen. B3 happened. B4 happened. It was a Halloween party. B5 did not happen.
B5 didn't happen?
No, I'm sorry. B5 happened. B5 and B6 is the same thing.
Okay.
That's the same.
Okay.
That's the same event. this last one on B8 did not happen. So only two out of this eight happened.
B1 happened?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so B3, B4, B5 happened. B6 is the same as B5, so that happened. B7 didn't happen?
Yes, that did happen.
That did happen?
Yes.
Okay. And B8?
No.
And that didn't happen?
No.
So we have a couple of these here that actually did happen. So we have asked the landlord to attend. Stephen Janonis has come, and there were some things represented in terms of what the landlord told him. I'd like you to come up, if you will, and give us some testimony on what all transpired here. Okay. And Steve, could you state your name and if you give me just your office address, okay?
Certainly. My name is Stephen Janell. My office address is 2 State Route 31 North, second floor, Pennington, New Jersey, 08534. I'm an attorney for MHSLJLLC. I was asked to be here today.
Okay. Should you raise your right hand and will you swear and affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the whole truth?
I do. Just to be clear about this, a lease was entered into with Mr. Taylor under AIO with MHSLJLLC on October 1st of 2021 for the warehouse space. Mr. Taylor had originally been leasing the office space, which is the front portion of the building, with the understanding that it was to be a recording studio and utilized for a recording studio and not for the hosting of events, service of food or beverages. And it was imperative that he had to comply with the industrial zone as well as the land use code of Linden Old Borough.
Okay, could you repeat that again? Because I want to make sure the board heard the conditions that you put on that lease.
Sure. It's my understanding that the initial lease, was for a recording studio. Mm-hmm. There was not supposed to be hosting of events, service of food or beverages, and Mr. Taylor was to comply with both the industrial zone as per the land use code of the borough of Lindenwald.
Can I have a copy of that? Where is that?
It's in your lease. I don't have it with me.
Oh. Okay, I have the lease here, and this is the October 1st, 2021, and that's between you and your company and ILA Entertainment.
Right.
And one of the things, and this was a lease for this 6,200 square feet.
Correct.
And you stipulate here in the very beginning, this space is to be used and occupied for only and no other purpose than photography studio, general video and film production, as well as the construction of staging and sets. The area may not be used to host events of any kind, nor serve food or beverage in a commercial capacity. Further, the use must comply with the requirements of the industrial zone as delineated in the land use code of the borough of Lynn. You made that stipulation in the October lease. And contrary to all that, we do have events that did occur after the lease in which there were concerts there.
This is correct, and certainly that would constitute a breach of the lease under any reading of it. My client was completely unaware of any of these parties until the borough made my client aware of it. Once my client was made aware of it at the end of January, numerous phone calls were made to Mr. Taylor imploring him not to go forward with this particular venue. We were advised that it wasn't him, that he had hired it out to a promoter. Telephone calls were made by another representative of the LLC to the promoter who basically, from what I understand, threatened the representative in a somewhat veiled manner. Mr. Taylor did eventually shut down the party or the event or the rave that was supposed to occur on February 4th. In the event that didn't occur, we were preparing to file a wire rod complaint with an order to show cause to go into Camden County Superior Court in order to get temporary restraints. Again, that fortunately it was not necessary. My client at this point does not wish to conduct business with Mr. Taylor anymore, especially with regard to the warehouse space. Clearly, the first breach was a significant breach and put both my client at jeopardy financially and put anybody who would attend this at risk with regard to the fire violations and the other code violations. Simply because a space can put 200 people in, it doesn't mean a space should have 200 people in it. I don't have to explain that to you. But that's certainly not the basis for the reason by which the lease was entered into. My understanding is Mr. Taylor had agreed to voluntarily terminate the lease with regard to the back portion, the warehouse portion. A copy of the lease was sent to him. I don't know if he intends to sign it or not.
I just got it today.
Well, do you intend to sign it, Mr. Taylor?
I'll deal with that.
Yes, no, sir. I actually have a copy for you.
Oh, okay. So this is for the back unit?
Right.
Okay.
My client wants to give Mr. Taylor an opportunity to terminate the lease voluntarily so he doesn't have to go through the process of having him removed. With regard to the front recording studio, my client's willing to defer to the board and this tribunal as to what their decision is and be guided accordingly with it. My client is very concerned about there being parties or anything outside the scope of the use, which is set forth in the commercial lease. Mr. Taylor has affirmed that he intends to abide by that in the future. And one of my clients, and the main owner is also my dad, he's a nice guy, and he wants to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, and he wants to give Mr. Taylor the benefit of the doubt. So somewhat against the advice of counsel, and there's three of us, me and my two sisters are all attorneys, he'd like to give Mr. Taylor one opportunity to honor the first lease if he stays on straight and narrow and doesn't violate the terms that he agreed to. But part of that is also him executing the termination of the lease agreement, and we would need that to be now. If he wants to do it, then we can go forward with this. So, Mr. Taylor, are you willing to terminate your lease agreement for the back room?
Absolutely.
Fabulous. Would you be willing to sign the termination agreement?
Yeah.
Mr. Janelle, can we see the termination?
You can have a copy.
Copy, yeah.
This is one of the things I actually did bring a copy of with me. And here's a copy for you as well, sir, that you can keep. Thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions that the board may have. Certainly that's one aspect of this particular issue that's hopefully off the table. And again, I do not believe that anybody from the landlord's office would tell him that he can have free reign to do what he wants. The general procedure is the tenants are rented to, and it's their obligation to go forward and make an application to this tribunal to get an approval to conduct their business in their space. If they aren't approved for the space, they're let out of their lease. So in this particular instance, except in very rare instances, as my client make the application on behalf of the prospective tenant, the obligation is always on the tenant to come before this board and make sure the obligations of what they intend to do is met.
Mr. Janelle, do you know of any concerns or objections that may have been made by other tenants in your industrial complex about this operation? of Mr. Taylor's?
Well, violating the rules of hearsay, but that's what you get when you ask an attorney a question. My understanding is, but for these incidences, Mr. Taylor is a non-intrusive tenant. He doesn't cause problems for anybody. Generally keeps to himself. Sometimes late at night, there are other cars outside the studio, but that's certainly not a problem. Again, it's been reported that there is occasionally the smell of marijuana coming from his studio. My understanding is that's not illegal anymore. So if that is true, then it is what it is, and I don't believe it's violating any laws. And other than that, again, except for these parties, my understanding is Mr. Taylor, as pertaining to the other tenants, has been a good tenant.
Does the board have any questions of Mr. Juneau?
Can we open the meeting up to the public? Thank you, Mr. Juneau.
Thank you.
Is there anybody from the public who wants to speak?
Hello.
We're going to ask you to for your name.
Yes, my name is Selena Taylor. I'm actually Mr. Taylor's wife.
Taylor.
I'm sat in the back.
Excuse me, before you start, you're at Spruce Avenue also, your address?
Yes, I am.
Okay, could you raise your right hand?
Sure.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you'll give this evening will be the whole truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sitting back there, almost on pins and needles, like not even being able to kind of sit in my chair. My husband is not as, I don't want to say the word is abrasive, I'm much more direct. So he's going to kind of treat the situation a little nicer than I would. I'm actually, the word that I keep coming up with is kind of disgusted. For instance, the police officers that have ever graced our presence.
They come eat food.
They come ask, do we have food? They come in the parking lot. They talk with my husband. They never have entered the building. The only time, one time, the police entered the building was when it was completely empty and we were cleaning up. What I'm upset about, and as you can hear, I'm visibly shaken, if for some reason your officers in your township noticed that it was some sort of danger in the parking lot of 2512 Egg Harbor, why wasn't the fire department called then? Why was the police not made, like, come to us and make us shut anything down? This never occurred. On a daily basis, on the weekends, the parking lot is so jam-packed from the softball people across the way that you can't get in, and I constantly tell them, as a mother of four and a grandmother of two, I'm scared that these kids are going to be hit. I don't see police there for that. When the dogs come, there's a dog training place in the same development, same kind of deal, okay? To hear an officer say that he saw a cash box, for instance, if somebody was coming there to utilize the space and they did tickets, the person at the door collecting tickets, they're not collecting fees to come into the venue. Me personally, our studio is connected by a door. When you come into the side door that our landlord placed there, knowing what was happening in that back space, that's also where I'm a little disgusted. If you look at how the space was before we got there, there was no side door. Not only was there a side door implemented there, there was also a light on the top of the door. The landlord knew we were putting a spotlight there because we were really concerned at the fact that it was dark. The landlord was well aware of everything that was going on in that space and told my husband that it was okay. And I'm testifying to that to put that on the record. So, I'm also, where I also have an issue is, it has come off a little bit like harassment because we don't bother anybody. We originally got the space, honestly, because as a part of recording, our studio cannot sufficiently hold when you have, say, a gospel choir, or you have somebody who wants to come in with their live band. So when the landlord came in and said, hey, this space is available, I personally went to him and said, I think you need to get that because we're missing out on money where we can't house them into our studio. This is why the stage was even originally built. So I just wanted to go on record and say that, that anytime law enforcement came there, nothing was ever done, nothing was ever shut down. You can go on your public record and show the cops were never called because of fights, because of disorder, none of that. It was always easygoing, no issues, no problems. And the police, when they came, only talked to my husband in the parking lot, and they left. They never came in the building when there was people in there. And I wanted to go on record and say that because that was just a flat-out lie. Also, I would like to point out the traffic you see in and out was because we were not selling liquor, and a lot of those people coming there, I guess they had liquor in their car. So they would constantly go in and out to drink whatever was in their car. So that's where you see the traffic, where the officer saying he saw a lot of people going in and out. That was the reason why. So I wanted to go on record to clear a few of those things up. Does anyone have any questions for me before I sit down?
Well, here's, I just want to point out the terminology in the lease, because you did say something about the landlord there. The landlord specifically precluded in the lease having these events, food, beverage, all that kind of stuff. It was precluded in the lease. And he may have very well thought that you were going to be using this additional warehouse space for staging a video or what have you. But he specifically dealt with this issue about having events there, and he precluded it because he saw that.
He precluded it, but what I'm saying is he was aware, and I wanted that to be on record, because that's not really fair to make it seem like my husband and the landlord entered into an agreement with some verbiage there, and it was like oblivious to him things were happening in his building. Not the case. I also can tell you that every time somebody came there to make any type of inspection, whether it was an exit sign, whether it was the bathroom sink, we just paid to have that fixed, he gets right on the list and he does it. The venue in the back, the area, the warehouse, whatever you want to call it, was no different. It was no different. He never didn't give anyone access, and anything he was told that he needed to take care of, he got right on it, even with the landlord. Hey, this is the list they're giving me, and they would get on it. So I, you know, I understand what you're saying, because on black and white it was one thing, but I don't want him to kind of be portrayed here as it's kind of coming out that he kind of just disregarded what were said, because a verbal agreement it stands up just as much as an agreement in black and white, if you want to be frank and honest.
That leads to
that verbal agreement.
As soon as he got the space, when he started talking to the landlord saying what was happening, what he was doing, and the fact that, and I'm going to be honest, husband and wife talk, when the cops are coming there and they see what's happening, no one's shutting anything down, he's under the impression that what he's doing is okay. No one ever shut anything down. No one ever said you're not supposed to be doing this, you need to get clear this out. None of that. This never occurred.
Okay, I don't think the police reporting there had the authority to do that. However, you did get a sticker that was put on the door that said no approvals and do not remove.
We didn't remove a sticker.
And we didn't have anything after the fact that was up there. But if there's a fire hazard, correct me if I'm wrong, if there's a fire hazard and our police of this town see it as a hazard, aren't they supposed to report that immediately and handle and address that situation on site? Or are they supposed to leave that location and report it later when it's a hazardous entry? Aren't they here to protect and serve?
Absolutely.
So
that's why we're here tonight.
Right. So if there's a hazard that you're seeing, law enforcement, why leave the premise instead of addressing this fire hazard or whatever hazard that you're seeing?
They gave you notices of violations, and they gave you a time period to abate them, which you ignore.
What I'm asking is, I've been in the entertainment business for years. Whenever there's an issue at another, let's say a venue in Philadelphia, the police see something that shouldn't happen, they shut the whole thing down.
Excuse me, I just have one question. Jeff, can you tell me, is this a permitted use in this area? So if you would have came in, and like you were asked to come into the board and check for use of this, they would have told you right then and there, this is not a permitted use for this area. You can't serve food, you can't have alcohol, you can't have dancers, you can't have anything that these videos are showing, that it's not an accepted use for an industrial zone.
Oh, we're not disagreeing. We're not disagreeing with that. I'm saying the way that it's being portrayed here, as if this dangerous, we're back in that backspace doing something totally dangerous. And I think what my husband's trying to convey, if you're ever in any event space, you could be at the orchestra. If something's the matter, the fire marshal comes in and it gets shut down. So I don't like how the wording of if we're just doing this dangerous thing and the law enforcement just keep coming and watching us be so dangerous and no one shuts it down. So does it get shut down when someone gets hit on Ed Carter Road? Does it get shut down if somebody gets hit in the parking lot? That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying because you're absolutely right. Sometimes you just get a ticket and then you know better for next time. But what I'm saying is to say that knowing we were doing something dangerous, that's not fair. It's not fair.
Well, no, it's very sad that I couldn't get the video up on the event that I know absolutely was at, that did occur at your place. Mm-hmm. And it's jam-packed with people, okay? Mm-hmm. And it, as was testified today, there's not circulation. If anything should happen, fire trucks cannot get in and out with all the cars that are parking there. You have curtains that line the wall. Are they fireproof? You have extension cords. This is not acceptable for a gathering of a large number of people. It presents a hazard, and that is why we have this hearing, and this is why we would not postpone this hearing, because we felt that it was a dangerous situation and we wanted it to stop. And the best way to stop it is to stop it here where there's no approvals to do this.
Yes, ma'am, I agree. It's not a problem. I just had one question and we can possibly move forward. When it comes to the mercantile, you can sell for a doorknob handle from a closet?
Yes.
You can? Okay. Being a tenant here from other tenants, they all talk and they said, can I finish? Thank you. Other tenants say we're giving so much leeway, it's so much stuff. This guy's even threatened the landlord that if you don't get Ed out of here, I'm gonna run you through everything. Every other businesses that's there. Poor Mike Janelle, he says, dude, I've been here, this building's been for 30 years, I just got it. Well, get Ed out. If you don't get him out, then I'm going to look into all these other things. That sounds like harassment. I don't address her at all. Am I addressing the board? Is she on the board?
She's a member of the board. She's a voting member.
Who said that? Wayne.
Who said that they're going to run Mr. Janelle's...
Hold on. Well, let's... Are you finished with your testimony?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Okay.
I can go through.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony.
You're welcome.
Can we hear from Wayne?
Sure. All right. Ask me again now.
Did you tell Mr. Janelle that you did? Mr. Janelle out of there that you
No, never once. I bring a couple things up for the record. The original inspection, when I first got it to go out there, was on 11:30 of 21. I had no entry on that date. When I did go in there, he said about a doorknob. When I went in there on 12:09, that was part of the inspection when I went there and I didn't meet Ed. Let me just go back 1 second with me. Okay. On 12-9, it was myself and Tim out there from the fire department. When we got in there to do a mercantile inspection, Ed, the tenant, told me he does not have keys or use of the back warehouse. That's on 12-9. They start playing the racial card, and I said, we're not going to do that. So me and Tim said, we're just going to leave. We're still doing it. So Tim said, let's finish the inspection today. So that's when I did the inspection. On 12-9, which I wrote it up, gave Mr. Taylor a copy of it. I told him some of the things they failed for in 12-9 was to remove the G on the mailbox, which originally was G in the front section, which is supposed to be E. But I told him that had to be removed because the police fire get a call there and there's a wrong unit on there. So he had to remove that. That was when this was all back on 12-9.
He also needs to put E on all doors exterior, because at the time I did not know he had approval for the back section. I said, you need to put E on the back doors, because of all the failure he got. He's missing men's covers and some of the light from the ceiling. The lavatory sink, when I went in there, the floor was all wet. I turned on the faucet, it was leaking all over the floor. That failed for that. It was missing the covers on the ceiling fan in the bathroom. The exhaust fan was missing a cover on it. He was also at the time missing smoke detectors. At the time I went in there and Tim was with me, the smoke detectors were off. What happened to him, I don't know. But he needs 10-year sealed battery smoke detectors in there. If it's not electric battery backup. He was also missing 3 GFIs near the sink. When I went near sinks, I have a GFI tester, see if they're wired correctly. One time I went back, they weren't wired correctly. 3 of them near the sink were missing. When I say missing, so if someone plugged something in, they're going to electrocute it. So that was a safety issue. He was missing receptacle covers. And number 10, he was missing the doorknob. The doorknob was on the closet. The doorknob was got to be on there. The door shuts and the keeper's on there. You know, I don't know what's in there. So you got to open it up. GFI needed in the middle bathroom, near the toilet. It didn't have it. Near the toilet, there was a receptacle right next to the toilet. We changed that on another inspection. He was also missing the front lens on the front light was missing. Back door, I said, had been painted. I also noted here the lights on the back door. I could not get in with the cheerleaders and told me he didn't have the key for that unit. That was on 12-9. On 12-14, I went back and did another inspection after that, and there was one or two inspections we never charged before. We were trying to be courteous and trying to work with them. Every inspection had to pay a fee. We waived at least one of them, not two of them, because I was trying to work with them. Okay? On another inspection I did on 12-14, back warehouse of the building, work area, back new exterior door. I told him he needs a building permit and electrical permit. When I went back in there, he put a new door on the side, which swings in, which needs to swing out, okay? We didn't go into that because he needs permits for it. That door was not originally on the side door. He had a back door, an overhead door at one time, back there, another exit door. That was behind the stage. So if there's a fire in there, that's the way people got to get out through the stage, okay? So he put another door in, him and the owner, and then he put it in. And he didn't get permits. There was no exit signs near that. That failed. So he needs lighting near the exterior door. He needs a name of the business on all exterior doors, which he was told. He needs cover on the panel boxes. When I did get back in the back room, which I thought I was going back there for a full inspection, the panel box was missing blanks in there, so it was missing receptacles. The fire extinguisher needed to be charged or paid. The fire extinguishers were already charged up, so they're empty.
And this is not the recording studio, by the way. This is all the back
area. Back section, that is correct. Yeah. Open electrical boxes, open wiring on the walls, extension cords all over. Exterior light, I told you about that. And he needs a permit for overhead. When I was looking at the overhead furnace, they were putting an overhead furnace that looked new. So I asked them, the owner happened to be where it was Mike Janelle, which had nothing to do with Ed. I said, how long has that been there? And he said, oh, it's been there about a year or two. I said, well, you know, I'm following an orange wire, which is supposed to be a Romex wire, which can't be used in that. It's got to be either BX or else in condo. So I'm following this orange wire, like, that ain't wired, right? It's gas furnace. It goes down to a receptacle. I asked Ed, how do you work that furnace? Oh, we plug it into a receptacle. That's a fire hazard, okay? That was indicated. I also indicated in the stage, which was originally in that back unit, which we ended up involved about because that's what baseball is now. But that stage was built with no permits, okay? That has blankets, moving blankets behind the block walls with black curtains going all the way around for sound. I understand that. I asked them, are they fire retardant? Yes, they are. I'm like, where's the labels? We need paperwork on it. None of that was done. Okay. Now he's out at E, so at the back section, so that hasn't. I just wanted to bring it up to the board and let them know that. And then that's when I started digging into it when I was in the back and all these failures. That's when I went back into the office, pulled the files, the resolution, and went through the whole complete resolution because I was not at that meeting when these guys had it. And that's when I started pulling the printers out and saying, yeah, that's 1,760 square feet in the back section. That's when I went back and tagged it. You do not have authority to use the back section. You can't get back there. You cannot use it. So you have to come before the board and
come back to the Land Use Board if you want approvals for that. So as far as going, failing this doorknob, it was way beyond a doorknob. Now, last inspection, it was just done, there's just a couple minor things in the back room back, or in the front room, I'm sorry, which is a GFI that was wired when I put the tester in it. There's an immunity in the front, there's a GFI in the bathroom, which is wired wrong. We put a GFI in there, I asked them if a licensed electrician did it. I said, if you did, it's wired wrong, because I put a tester in it, it's an open ground, show me an open ground. That's got to be done, that's in the bathroom. And he's missing the doorknob, still not done. No big deal, that's easy to fix. Fire extinguisher needs to be tagged, it was outdated. And there's three things he failed on February 1st, 2022. Any more questions? For GFI, he doesn't need a permit for that, there's kind of receptacle there, so he can change the price, and he can do that, that's not a problem. So he don't need a licensed electrician. He does need a licensed electrician for the back door, for the next door, for the emergency lighting, outside light, and building and inspection for the permit for the side door. Excuse me? Yeah, the landlord is responsible for that. I do not know if he's got the call. The door where the curtains burn, and once they burn, the whole stage is, and someone's going to go out there and run the stage, there are not going to be people getting out there.
Can I say something, please?
Yes, I was just going to say, if you have any questions for Mr. Haas or any...
It's not a question, it's just not accurate. Everything that he failed the studio for was addressed and fixed fully, yes. And you came back, no, it's not three, it was just the doorknob. And then when I came back in here, when you was talking to a young lady, I said, Mike, why would you put, is that your name, Mike? Wayne, I'm sorry. Why would you put an additional fire thing, fire extinguisher when you know that I'm going before the board on the back part? You added additional stuff that was, and made it look like it was part of the studio failing when it had nothing to do with that unit.
This was your, no. Your
the only thing you failed me for, the GFIs got replaced.
No, it's wired.
The lights, everything, the outside lights, you came back and everything was.
The open ground was on okay. Your GFI. This is number five. When I go
it's
through,
not true.
This list, okay?
If somebody went over to my building, that building right now, you'll see the only thing is the doorknob. Well, everything else is up to code in the recording studio.
I gave this to you, Ed. I gave you this copy. You should have a copy.
It's not true.
February 1st. Number five is the GFI, and number 10 is the missing doorknob, which if you go back from the...
So then it's two now. You just said three. Now you're saying it's two.
No, I said number five, the GFI.
It's fine. It's
number 10 is the doorknob.
That's not accurate.
Okay. And on this list here, if you look in here, number 10, this is on...
It's not accurate. Somebody can go... If you get somebody, they can go now
and
see
it
themselves. Just because you write it doesn't make it accurate. You can send somebody over to the building now, and they'll see for their own eyes. This is not true. I spent thousands of dollars to put that up to code.
That's why I said I
wanted
to
see why. That's harassment. A doorknob? Baseball guy not going to go through that?
Okay, so we'd like to maybe put these on the record. Okay, this will be the field correction notice, and this is the date is, this one is 12/9/21. And then we have another field correction notice, and that date is 2/1/22. Okay, and we just want to put them on the record.
We did not go back to the next inspection. We got to go back. That was not set up.
Okay.
The fire extinguisher on that one is right up on the number to it. That's why I said it was in the back, and it did tell him that we need to get that addressed, even though that wasn't part of his unit. That's why it's out of the number. Okay? I'll just get them back and get the copy.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to have to start getting done with it.
I guess nobody else is going to, public is not going to matter.
Well, does anybody else from the public, have anything to say? Sergeant O'Donnell, did you have something to say?
Because there was an issue about whether,
You were in the building?
In the building, or you looked inside.
Looked inside, and it appeared that there were liquor bottles. I did review the camera footage, and you can't, it looked like liquor bottles that you can't confirm on the television.
But on the record, he said it was.
I said it appeared to be. And I also said, you know, I was assured that night four times when I asked him that the occupancy level was 750. He stated that, and that's the reason I didn't shut anything down at that point. I went back and notified code enforcement to, you know, to verify all the, you know, stuff that was done.
Now, what else, he also made a comment about their, the parking not being safe, there's a fire hazard. Is that something you normally have an issue with?
Before I even talked to, Fiona, I told security that they got to keep the lane open and the double parking out on Egg Harbor Road was addressed by me before I even spoke to.
Okay. Is that taken care of?
At that time, yeah, and I told him, you know, that's the reason I was there, was because of, you know, the big crowd and no access back there, and it was, and it's a double parking. And I also said that there was a cash box, and then said that there was a second cash when it went.
Yeah, that's right.
There's cash boxes, there's instruments, there's drums, I mean, there's a lot of things you can see when you look inside there. Why are we just specifically talking about a cash box? There's numerous of things you would see when you look in there, not just a cash box.
Is there anybody else that has anything to say?
Can I say one little thing? I see when he's in a restaurant, he said he's selling raffle tickets.
Can I use the bathroom? I really have to use the bathroom. I really got to use the bathroom.
Can we have a drummer for a few minutes?
With raffle tickets, I understand that you're selling raffle tickets. I believe you're going to license for that.
No, please use the bathroom.
Yeah,
I can't hold it.
I didn't know if we could do a determinant for.
Oh, sure, yes.
So,
could we wait till he gets back?
Sure, no problem.
The other bathroom is running late.
No one else is there. That's what I said. We think we need 5 to 10 minutes. Okay, can we adjourn for 5 minutes? 5 minutes adjournment. We'll come back at 7:50. Could the board please return? Mr. Taylor, are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. I'd like to call the meeting to order again. Thank you for your patience so far.
Okay, we're going to reopen it to hear some testimony from Mr. Taylor. Okay. So, assuming, of course, that the back warehouse place is no longer in contention because you've been released from the lease, and as far as we know, the landlord does have a prospective tenant for that.
Yes, ma'am.
So what we'd like to do is get you back on the record. If you were to, if the board was to continue its approval of the recording studio, why don't you tell us a little bit about that? What are your hours of operation, days of operation, number of people, square footage that you're using, so we can get that on the record?
Okay. The square footage is approximately, I think, 1,700. I think that's what we have.
1,760 square feet.
1,760. I would be asking for an extension in hours since the baseball guys have been there. Nothing against them. My clients have been having issues with parking, so I would ask if my hours can be extended so I can have like early evenings, then opposed to just a 9 to 5.
So tell us what you want here. Let me just get you what you said before. Okay, 9 to 5 and then 9 to 6 on weekends.
Yes.
So you're going to comply with that, or do you have changes? And if so, exactly what are the changes?
The changes would just be extended hours. I wouldn't be operating from 9 at all. It would be more so like 11 or 12 noon start till about 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Monday.
11, 12 noon to
8 p.m.
o'clock at night.
Yes, ma'am.
Monday through Friday?
Yes, ma'am.
And what about the weekend?
Weekends, it would vary. We can keep it for 9 to 5 for now, but I would like to still be able to operate up until about 8 o'clock as well, if possible.
So that'll be till 8 o'clock also?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, does that start at 11 or earlier?
It could start around 9.
Okay, that's Saturday and Sunday. Okay, and so how many employees are you going to have there?
I have about 10 now. There's sound engineers, vocal coaches.
There's 10 engineers and vocal coaches?
It's about 10 total. It's about 6 engineers, 2 vocal coaches, and a drum and a piano player teacher.
Okay, and they will be situated within, how many rooms do you actually have the
There's studios. There's 4 recording studios. So they were
studios?
Yes.
Okay, and so when a client comes in to record something, do they come in for blocks of an hour at a time, or how does that work?
Typically, they would either go to our website or call the business number and make an appointment. Either myself or my secretary will find out what exactly they're looking to do and then put them with the appropriate engineer for based on what they're looking to do.
Okay, so how about if somebody came in and said, okay, I want to make a music video, and there's going to be a bunch of dancing. What are you going to do there? You don't have space for that.
I'll refer them to a friend of mine that can accommodate.
Okay, and there will be no retail sales there?
No, ma'am.
And no food and beverage?
No, ma'am.
Is the, in terms of parking, so at any given time, on a Monday or a Friday, when the other tenants are probably operating business, how many vehicles do you anticipate will be at your operation?
Anywhere from 10 to 15. It's possible.
Is there enough parking without taking everyone else's parking?
Well, now it's been an issue since the baseball guys have been in there. I've been having issues with my clients parking.
Okay, so what's that issue so we can address it? So the baseball, these are like young kids going to like a hit doctor?
Yeah, there's a...
Skills?
I think it's like a skill thing where they train and have tournaments or something. Right across the parking lot there is a baseball place facility. And they're pretty busy. He's a nice guy. I have nothing against him. But since he's been there, I've had less parking because they have so many different, I guess, tournaments or trainings that's constantly going on throughout the week. So my guys are like, man, I'm walking, like, oh, where do I park? I'm like, ugh. That's why I'm asking for an extension of time so I can kind of coordinate my clients to come in when he's, like, on his downtime. I have nothing against him. His kids come over, they play ball right outside. I have 2 courts for them. We get along great. I'm not complaining at all against them.
This baseball facility is younger, little leaguers, Babe Ruthers,
yes,
that
ma'am.
Age.
Right? Yeah, they're like 8 years old to like 14.
Okay, so they would be only after school the evening there, right?
For the most part, but during the week.
Summers.
Yeah, summers, exactly. But during the week, it's packed. Like tomorrow, I mean, if you went during the day at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, there's something going on in there. It's packed. I don't know if it's that age bracket or not. I don't know. I think he does AAU tournaments, so he gets people from all over. I really don't know exactly, but if you went in the morning during the day, it's packed sometimes.
Okay, so So how do you think you're going to accommodate your parking needs, given that?
Well, that's why I was asking, instead of having it down for 9 to 5, if I can start later and end later, because I think he ends like around 4 o'clock sometimes.
Okay.
And then I would kind of schedule my guys in between his downtime.
Excuse me, the original application mentioned, I think it was 7 to 10 for the next week, within 8 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Jeff, how many parking spots is there there at that location? I rode by the other day, and the paver company is storing pavers outside in parking spots.
That's one of the things we asked now.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask that. We asked about that when Mr. Taylor came in. Now, it's not his issue.
Is our code enforcement should be checking that out?
Yeah, Mr. Janelle did address that. He took care of that issue.
When? I rode by within the last 2 weeks, and there were still pavers out in the parking lot.
Well, I know the parking, the side of where my studio is at, there used to be about four spots. Yeah, he moved it. Yeah, he moved it like towards the dogs. Unit, so it's like kind of to the left of the dog unit. It's nowhere near where I'm at.
But
so I anticipated you guys would all, your business, everybody would probably park on that weekday strip, being phone there, and the
right.
For the 10 or 15 vehicles, I think there were plenty of space. There might be one or two of those from there, but there was being in our own space. So I guess, I don't know if there might be spaces there, so it's tough to tell if it's striking. I don't know what those were. So.
Can we request the landlord to restripe it?
Mr. Janelle? Yeah.
Is he here?
It's right here on access.
Mr. Janelle, could you come up to the, please? Because I noticed myself that the pavers are on pallets outside the building, not inside the building.
That's what I
And I don't understand why that's happening.
Well, if the pavers are outside the building, they certainly shouldn't be. I believe there's 65 parking spaces in this particular lot, if I remember properly. As a landlord, we try to be as accommodating with our tenants as possible. If it presents a problem, I'll certainly talk to my dad and make sure that the pavers are moved to some place where they're not blocking parking or blocking any other important access.
I mean, have you seen the pavers out there?
I have not been there in a while. I know that the pavers, during less, it's a good way to say this, during times when the tenancy isn't necessarily full, the pavers or the masons who have that particular tenancy tend to encroach on other areas because they have such a significant amount of stock. If it's not interfering with anybody, nobody wants to give them a hard time, but if it is interfering with either safety or another tenant's rights, certainly we will have them taken care of and moved to a space that's either less obstructive or intrusive or off-site.
I mean, when I saw it, it looks like they should be moved from where they're at.
Okay.
Just for the parking lot. What's that? I didn't sit there and count. I just noticed that they were in front of the building. I mean, whatever.
There's about 5 spaces.
It looked like there was probably like 10 pallets in front of the building.
Okay.
Okay, and I mean, they shouldn't be there.
Yeah, and I think actually when the EFX tuning was in, which was the last application we heard for the site before Mr. Taylor came in, that we asked that same question, and we were told that they were just there temporarily, they were going to be moved. And so we addressed it when Mr. Taylor came in, and
okay, so
terse letters will be sent.
We're going to do that, and what about having the parking lot lined?
We can do that as well.
Okay, is there anything else that seems to make we would know whose parking spots are where? I would make it so he has parking spots on his side of the building, wherever they're at, and we would know how many people were there. For the baseball, we have to know how many people should be in there. If they're having tournaments, and they're not supposed to have tournaments in there.
structure where we're going to be dedicated parking? Do we want to give that level of detail?
I don't think we have to do that, but I think we have to know how many people are in there that aren't where they're at. You understand what I'm saying? So we know where people are and making sure there isn't 100 people in the baseball place.
No, I, my understanding is I don't believe there's 100 people in there. It's a coaching and training facility. My understanding, they don't have tournaments or anything in there. There's not enough room for that. It's just basically working on skills. It's skills coaching. Mostly high school kids and pre-high school kids who go there to, I guess, increase their chances of getting a college scholarship. But my understanding of what goes on in there, most of the kids are dropped off by their parents. Parents go and do something else for the hour or hour and a half that they're there. And I don't believe there's more than 25 kids there at a time. I'm not entirely sure, but most of them are drop-offs while the parents go out and do something else.
Do you feel confident that if the masonry block situation is addressed, that based on the testimony of Mr. Taylor gave on his anticipated visitation and need for parking, that it can all be accommodated without people out on Ann Arbor Road?
I believe so. I believe so. But, as I said, I believe there's 65 spaces in there. Some of the tenants barely use any, even at its most crowded, with the anticipated uses of all the tenants. It shouldn't even come close to overflow. It shouldn't. But when the initial applications were made, and again, the building's been there for 30 years.
People grow,
people. Yeah. Right. One of the tenants that had been there for a number of years was a church that just used their space to store personal property. Okay, nobody ever parked there. So with now, again, with Mr. Taylor having people coming in, there's a little bit more of a transient coming in and out of it. I don't believe it's an issue. We'll certainly have the pavers moved so all available parking is freed up. We'll reline the spaces, and if it continues to be a problem, we can address it to this tribunal's satisfaction.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Before you leave, we have a, you've given Mr. Taylor a release for the warehouse rental space, right?
Yes, he has graciously signed it. That terminates it.
And you have that in your possession?
I do. Would you like to make a copy of it?
Yes, so we're going to need that. Is it signed on your end?
I'll sign it.
Okay. And then, with respect to the lease that Mr. Taylor now is going to have, which is just the original 1,760 square feet, are you going to redo that lease?
No.
Okay, does that lease have that language that you put in the October lease about prohibiting any of this activity?
Yes, I believe it does.
Okay.
My understanding, and again, I kind of came up here without having an opportunity to bring my whole file with me.
Okay.
But my understanding is this, it's generally the same lease that's utilized. It's a standard lease. I'll double check on that. I know Mr. Taylor has certainly assured us and everybody here today that he doesn't intend to do any more hosting on site. And from the landlord's perspective, we're willing to accept his representation.
Okay.
We probably still have the same language about that. I think they aren't consistent with the zoning and the I-1 zoning.
I would assume so. It's a standard lease form.
That language does seem like a little that your father was definitely afraid of the concerts, and he did write something, and I think it would give the board a comfort level if it was in there, and if it's not in there, if there could be an addendum to the lease to incorporate that, because this is a prohibition against video photography, not any kind of serve food, beverage, no promotion of concerts or big events.
Sure. Well, if I'll ask Mr. Taylor, is he willing to abide by an addendum if that's drafted up?
Not a problem.
Okay,
so that
because again, I understand the administrative aspect of this law, but we're also under an area of contract law, and I can't make him agree to something without any additional consideration. I can't breach the contract for failing to abide by an amendment, but if he's representing today that he's willing to abide by that. I'll draft up an addendum. I'll send it over and have him signed. I can send it over to the board, so you have it on record.
Okay, and then Mr. Taylor, the community vents that you had originally indicated in your June testimony really was very limited to really instructions for children in music, sound engineering, and things like that. That was what you spoke about when you referred to community vents. Is that still the case?
Yes.
Okay, so in lieu of using the word community events, because I think that lends itself to a much broader interpretation, you will also be using it for instruction, music,
recording,
and sound engineering instructions for, is it just children, or are you doing that for adults?
No, we do adults as well.
Okay.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to mark up the current lease that I have. So we'll take care of this tonight. I'll handwrite the additional language in there,
okay,
amending the prior lease. We'll get it signed and we'll get that done. Is that okay?
That sounds
Is that okay, Mr. Taylor?
Not a problem.
Okay, very good.
Okay, with regard to the entranceway between the two units, okay, the warehouse and the recording studio, that's going to be, is that sealed up or is it going to be sealed up?
My understanding is, I believe it's going to be fully, I think it's going to be fully sealed. I don't believe there's going to be a door any there anymore. I believe it's going to be fully sealed.
Okay, and is that a block wall or is that a sheetrock?
They were just there to seal it up a few days ago. I asked them if they can wait until after the meeting. They were already there a few days ago.
Okay, is that a block wall or is it a drywall?
It's a drywall.
It's not a weight-bearing wall. It's not cinder block. It's framed in sheetrock.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does Wood have anything, the mayor?
I just had one question. Is that wall supposed to be a block wall, Wayne, for fire code? Can you come up, please?
If it's a frame wall, it's going to have to be framed, okay?
Okay.
And when you build it around the frame, if you want to close edge side up and you get an inspection before you close the other side up, because if, I don't know if it should be finding sheetrock in there, I don't know unless you want to close it off.
Okay.
You want to tackle this side, you want to finish this side, leave the 2x4s exposed.
Okay.
You can see the other side where it goes into the woodworking, I believe that's a block wall, correct?
I believe so.
Okay, so that can turn it on the middle, you have to get a building next to that, and whatever you need to put through the other way. So that back unit, which is now E, is going to change to like an E, is it?
I think it needs new, they all need new letters.
Okay.
They all need new letters.
If it's D with woodwork and you're going to make sure this shooting now becomes D and all doors are marked with the names and everything.
Right.
The names and numbers are letters on the back.
Agreed.
At all doors.
Agreed.
Okay.
That's certainly logical.
Not just the end of the end, but I'm not understanding. Let's make them look
presentable.
Presentable?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. If he wants to hire him on the ground, he wants to take it more out. I need it. She can have the old inside to finish it up. He's okay with that wall stuff out and everything.
Right.
And if you turn it inside, you see two of them exposed. It's going to be inspected. If you don't have to commit some time, I want to make sure it's firewalled up. So if he gets it done, he's just going to be off the wall and sign it off and put it inside. I don't have a problem with myself and Derek on that.
Okay.
Alrighty,
so
I
think we're finished with you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for coming up. I appreciate late notice. Okay.
Is there anybody from the
audience that has anything to say?
Okay, so when we began this hearing, I did read that what the board's authority is with respect to rehearing a matter, and they can take whatever action they deem appropriate. They can issue a rescission of the approval, they can a modification of a prior approval, or any other thing that they action that they deem would be appropriate for the circumstance. So the board has really rescind it altogether. They can reapply or modify the existing approval. If the board was inclined to go to a modification of the existing approval, it would be in accordance with the revised testimony that Mr. Taylor had indicated, which would be that it would be a 11 to 8 Monday through Friday, and 9 through 8 Sunday on the weekends. Yeah, is that Friday night also?
Yes.
So it's Monday through Thursday?
Correct.
Okay, Monday through Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be 9 to 8, okay. There will be no retail sales, no food, no beverage there. It will be strictly used for the sound studio. There will be no community events other than the instruction, sound engineering, and musical instructions for students of
right.
music. Okay. That the lease to the warehouse component, he will enter into a termination or a vacation of that lease, and that termination will be duly signed by all the parties and submitted to the board. We will also get a new revised lease for the recording studio, which will stipulate those restrictions that Mr. Janelle had put in about having these kinds of events, okay, other than sound recording and things like that. Everything else would be prohibited. The wall that separates the warehouse from the recording studio will be sealed off in whatever is the most appropriate way, whether it needs to be blocked or sheetrocked. But that will be something that the landlord will take care of. This doesn't really go to your approval, but the landlord did say that they would strike the parking lot and take care of that paver issue. And then the violations, all the violations that we have, I would say they have to be abated within 30 days of tonight. Would that be, is that unreasonable, reasonable? Mayor, what do you think? Okay. And then your... Is that okay?
That's 75 hours, and we'll come in here and do an inspection. If everything's done, it's just a couple items going there. So whenever he's ready, we'll go in and do it.
Could we have him given a revised inspection for just the 1760 feet?
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be nothing.
Okay, so he knows what he has to get done in this time period.
So anything's done in the back, it's going to be separate from him.
Correct. I'm going to
hold it. Mr. Janelle, father. Yeah, and I'll get a hold of him, and we'll make arrangements. We still got to get in the woodworking shop to do their inspection. And at that time, I'll let him in the back. At least if the fire extinguisher is dead, which we want to make sure that's addressed.
Now, does the woodworking shop have to come in for a change of use for that?
That's correct. They were told because they want to take that section, and I told Mr. Janelle,
okay.
To get it, and then do it with the ice,
okay.
And the board, and today we can call that out. Okay. Yeah. So I'll come back for the board for the other section, which whatever it is, 6,000 square feet, whatever.
Okay, Wayne, so you're going to have a re-inspection, then you're going to reissue a notice of violation, and it will be just all the outstanding violations having to do with the 1760 square feet.
Yes, yeah, and what's failed for, it should apply. Should be no problem. It'll be a piece of cake for that. I'll make arrangements whenever he's ready.
Okay.
Okay.
And with that, the CO is The CO process is...
That's for the mercantile, and then I'll sign off on it.
You sign off. Okay, so we do have the mercantile licenses for...
Yeah, that's for 2021.
2021 is outstanding.
I don't know if you can pay for 22 yet. So you have to come into the office and pay for 22. So when I come out, I'm going to basically sign 21 and 22, okay?
Okay, so we have the mercantile license issue, and I think that's all. Does anybody on the board have anything else? The community thing, okay. Oh, you mean like music? Well, yeah, we're going to eliminate the word community programs because it's too broad. And we're going to actually put in music instructions and sound engineering instructions, period. Because that they can do in their rooms. But, you know, having events, there's not an open space to do anything like that. And the community event is too broad of a term. And we don't want to run afoul of that. So those are the only things. If the board's inclined to modify the approval by that.
The only thing we want to make sure, and Mr. Janelle does, is that, whatever. If you want to make that change from the outcome, because please, if I were going to call, you need to change. Like, God forbid, if you had something to need, and they're going to accept one more.
Okay.
I don't care if you make a change or whatever, but I don't want to make that. It's so separate from his and the board's at this time.
Okay, so that's good. That was a good point. So E is simply the 1,760 square feet, okay? That's E.
E is Mr. Taylor's 1,760 square feet, which is the front four, 400 roughly, okay? They're going to need to put the back to G. Until she gets done with breaking down, remember, if they get a call from D, let's say you get a call from G, they're going to want this unit here. If they get a call from D, this unit is separate, they can't implement all the units. So God forbid, if there's a fire in D or E, they're in the wrong unit.
So identify it. And if there's another unit somewhere, they'll...
There is not, because G was his originally.
Okay.
So we have a reverse name, and then we work to come in, if that's E, we can change it, whatever like that. Just for peace of mind.
Can I put one last thing on the record? If I would just be given a little time to get my equipment out, I have over $80,000 worth of equipment in that unit. I don't want to be like not have access to it so I can be able to get it out and move it to my new facility.
You should be able to get it back from the warehouse. Did you get it in from the big door back there?
Right, I mean, I know I've signed a release. I just want to still have access to be able to get... Okay, all right, okay.
What was that? Yeah, he does. So what happened there?
Even if the door's blocked in between your section and the L section, you still have...
Yeah, it's not real. I'm sure it's still got doors, a big area.
Everything will be done accordingly and a lot of old transition area.
I just want the numbers and that was on there for some reason, so nobody's in the wrong place. Thank you.
Okay, so that's, so I guess you should entertain a motion from the board in terms of what they want to go.
Okay, we have everything to my, do we have a motion to, we entertain a motion from the board?
I'll make a motion that we amend it.
What's we, what was the motion for?
To amend the...
To modify?
As per Kate's conditions.
As per Kate's conditions.
Do I have a second? Linda? Nancy, do you have that? Rich made a motion to modify, and Linda seconded.
To modify?
Yes. Per the conditions that Kate stated. Okay?
Mayor Rich?
Roll call, please.
Yes.
Councilwoman Hess?
Yes.
Ms. Joy Jackson?
Yes.
Ms. Micheli?
Yes.
Mr. Pauli?
Yes.
Mr. Jermaine Jackson?
Yes.
Mr. Vandegrift?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Motion to adjourn.
Could I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.